Welcome back to another episode of the Modern Multifamily Podcast, now part of the Smarter Living Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Wilbur, and I'm very excited to share today's conversation with you that we recorded in person at the Multifamily Social Media Summit in Napa. I was lucky to have Jessica Fern Kirkland, aka JFK, and Lisi Daniels from PMG on the show to talk about building this exciting rocket ship. They are building a remarkable management company. And in this show, we talk culture, technology, core values. My favorite one was hype. This was fun and probably one of the most quotable conversations I've been a part of. And I really hope you enjoy this conversation with JFK and Lisi from PMG. Let's get into it. All right, we are coming to you live from Multifamily Social Media Summit. Really excited to have Jessica and Lisi from PMG. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
I would love to start just with a little bit of who you are and how you found the role that you're in today before we jump into the PMG story. Lisi, can we start with you?
Yeah.
Name, title, and kind of how you found the chair that you're in today?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Lisi Daniels, and I am the Vice President of Learning and Marketing with PMG. And, you know, I've been in this combination of these roles for over 16 years and absolutely love not only just the development of people, but also just marketing your brand and that strategy. And I think it kind of just fell when I met Jessica and just where I'm at today. And so excited.
Love it. That's great. Jessica?
Yeah, thank you. My name is Jessica Fern Kirkland. Most of my friends call me JFK because my name is long. And I've been in the industry for about 15 years. Started as a leasing consultant back in the day and have done, gosh, everything from affordable to conventional, and spent some time in property technology the last year. And after I had left my role at FPI management, which I was there for a long time, and just kind of ready for a change. And I was connected with Tides Equities. So PMG is the sole managing agent for Tides, and came in originally to do some consulting. And after a few conversations, they asked me to join the team full time as president. And we're on a rocket ship here. That's kind of our
right?
thing.
That is.
Like
it's
the rocket
like
ship
off.
Basically, the rocket ship's part of our core values. It's in our logo, it's in our branding, and that's what we're doing. We're going straight to the top.
Whenever I hear rocket ship, I always think like probably once in a career opportunity to be part of a company that you can only use that so many times, right? But when you're part of a rocket ship that's charging, that's got to feel incredible.
Yes. Yeah. It does.
Speaking of name rebrands, my name is Michael Wilbur. That's a mouthful too. So I rebranded to Mike 9 years ago. It was a very big deal for me. So I dropped the Michael, went Mike, because Mike Wilbur is much easier as a sales guy, and my mom hates it. She hates it every time she calls me because my voicemail. She's like, honey, it's Michael, not Mike. Please change your voicemail. And I still to this day drive her crazy. I'd love to talk about PMG. And I kind of hear the story. I feel like outside looking in, you're charging. You're adding these like world-class leaders to your team. And there's also some like mystery around like what it is, who it's going to become. And I'd love to hear just a little bit about the why and kind of where you see the brand going. And I'm not sure who the best person is to start here.
Yeah, I can kick it off. Yeah. I mean, there's things that we both bring to the table, and you know, each person who is on this team is very intentional, Lisi included. She was one of the first people that I, contacted to really like start building this executive team. So Tides Equities, and anytime you say Tides Equities in any sort of conference, everyone's like, oh my gosh, yes. So Sean and Ryan are the co-founders of Tides, and they are like real estate geniuses. And so our CEO, Jared Robinson, was the, he still is our CEO, but there was the managing agent. We were previously known as the Robinson Group and did a rebrand to PMG right before I started. And this organization, Tides has been around for about 6.5 years, and Jared and Sean and Ryan met and decided they wanted to do this. All right, we'll be asset management and then Jared will do property management. And I don't think they knew that their 120 assets was going to turn into now 108, 31,000 units in about 12 months.
Yeah.
About 12 months. And anyone who's been a part of extreme growth And when you're closing deals, like multiple deals a week, you don't really have time for the growth and the scalability. And when you go into a business venture, you are staffing and making decisions at, like, for the data that you have for the future that you can foreseeably see. And so not having the right infrastructure or having the right time to put the infrastructure in place, what happened was the structural pieces were lacking because everyone was heads down closing deals. And once the market slowed down, it really gave everyone an opportunity to say, okay, we need some institutional knowledge. We need to do this differently. And it's really kind of started from there. So it really feels like a startup with $9 billion in assets. Only we have so much organizational vision alignment on where we want to take this thing. It's been the most fun to be innovative from our roles to how we're structured, how we make decisions. I think our, like, the commission structure that we just released is a really good example. Yeah. This one created a little social media controversy, but, you know, we included the maintenance team in the commission structure for move-in bonuses, which is not a normal practice. And we can dive into a little bit more about how that came to be and the results that we're seeing from it. But we're all here because we are building the company that we always wanted to work for. And I wrote our core values, which I've never done before, but that was a really cool exercise and practice to align on the words, which are head, heart, hustle, and hype. And my favorite is hype, which is the last one, which was kind of a last minute addition. And we were at our first leadership team meeting. We all flew in January. We had, you know, our new, like, album cover style headshots, pictures done. And I was just, like, sitting back and looking at just what we'd built in a short amount of time. I started in November, but the rest of the executive team came on board in January. Mm-hmm. What was your first day?
January 3rd.
Yeah, January 3rd. Mm-hmm. Like, we're, what, still March?
Yeah.
And I'm listening to how everyone is just so encouraging and empowering of others. And we see that in our organization. You know, we listened to, like, kind of what the organic, intrinsic, implicit values were that the organization was speaking about. And that's where we kind of landed on these values. But we see emails go back and forth all the time about, you know, kudos and shout outs. And, you know, we are each other's hype people.
Yeah.
And I felt so strongly that hype had to be a part of our culture and our core values. And I think it's everybody's favorite.
You have to. It's like hashtag hype.
Totally.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was incredible. That was a very fun overview and helpful too, just like telling the story. And Lisi, I'd love to get your take on a couple of things. So you've got a cool title. You're the vice president of both learning and marketing. And everything Jessica just said, in a good way, overwhelmed me. I mean, radical rebrand, writing the new core values, $9 billion of assets, but we're still a startup. Probably people hiring everywhere, process structure, everything. If I'm over marketing, that is a ton to do.
Yeah.
That is a ton to prioritize. Yes. Little do many know, you're coming from Madera Residential.
Correct.
That also has a unique connection to complexity because of Quext, which a lot of people don't get. So I'm guessing you were picked for the right reasons here because you get complex.
Yeah. I mean, she's pretty fabulous, right?
It's very complex. So but I understand you.
I would love to, you know, hear your take. How are you thinking about, you know, you can't boil the ocean, but you've got to make plays. You've got to live head, heart, hustle, and hype.
Yeah.
Like, as the head of learning and marketing, what are you thinking about in terms of supporting the brand and executing everything that you all are thinking about?
You know, one word that comes to my mind is we're game changers, right? And in that heart of that, with our core values and bring that together, I think it's my role is to come in and brand that culture, that vision of what, you know, Jessica and Tides and Jared has put out, and really showing that, influencing that within our on-site teams and our leaders, and making sure they see what the brand is and what, you know, who we are, but at the same time, why we're those game changers, right? And having that opportunity coming from a side of tech and the side with Quex and an integrated that with us and that knowledge and all the different complexities of what marketing can bring. It's just amazing, you know, what we can push out and really be dynamite, but also be, like Jessica said, just those, that next rocket ship that just is exciting.
I love it. Jessica, I'd love to hear your take as you're embarking on building this business. President is a huge role to be in, and there's probably a lot you could choose to focus on: new people, new process, new technology. Is every day just like a new adventure, or how do you think about the like short term? Because the short term is what leads into the long term for the business you all are building.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's one that we are learning every day. When I started, it was just Jared and myself, and I was doing a lot of like boots on the ground, which I'm still a fan of. Like I walk assets. I meet the maintenance team. I look at the maintenance shop. I want to make sure that they are safe. I want to know how the leasing team feels. I want to know how the groundskeeper feels, because that's really what this whole thing is about. The property team is the most critical in executing the management agreement. And for me, that's why we're all here, is to make sure they have what they need to get their job done. So I think that's really driven a lot of the priorities, but being able to be in the chaos for a while, it was like, okay, you know, how do you assess what you have and what you need? And I think the disadvantage that we have with, you know, it's super fun to be a startup. I love technology. I am a technology junkie. And to like re-envision our tech stack has been the most fun thing ever. But we do have some things that, you know, when you grow, there are, you know, breaking points, right? Because you're outgrowing the systems and structure that you thought. So I'm very like science and psychology driven. I'm getting my degree in psychology right now, in industrial organizational psychology. So for me, I love the science perspective. And when you have a hypothesis, right, you think you know something, anytime you get additional information, you have to go back and revise that hypothesis based on now the data that you have. So the things that I thought last week are totally different now. And we have gone back and forth from, you know, starting with slow implementation where, you know, we're creating that structure. And really, I think my biggest goal in the first 60 days was to build trust. Yeah. You know, I can't influence just out of the gate because I'm here the people who have been through this change, you know, and good, bad, right, or wrong, change is tough. And you have to be able to walk people through those things. So my personal mantra is integrity always prevails. So if I, you know, put my head down and do more doing than talking, it will get there. But at the same time, we still have priorities that we need to meet. We have objectives and deadlines and investors and, you know, rent a post. And we've, you know, started slow. We've thrown on too much. We've had to pull back. And some of it is very experimental because we need to gauge based on the initiatives that we're putting out there, the level of knowledge, which is why I love how tightly our executive team is. We actually made a pact with each other that we would always be honest and give feedback because we don't want to make opinion-based decisions. So as we, you know, you throw out an initiative to just learn that the user settings aren't right in a piece of technology. So then it's like you have to go back and audit that. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, tagging in Lisi to do needs analysis on, okay, what do we need training in to get these people here? So there's a lot of back and forth. But I think one of the things that we've done really well is be transparent and be vulnerable with the fact that we're doing a lot of experimenting. We're doing a lot of testing. We have calls with our regional managers and even managers every Thursday mornings. We had it today and I was on. Lisi was here and her director joined. I mean, we show up and we keep communicating and we keep the lines open, because if I'm not serving the site team, like, what's the point?
Sure.
So I think a lot of the priorities become very organic based on the needs in reaction to the initiatives, while also balancing business development. And I also have to be very honest about the fact that I've never been a president of a company before. So I do a lot of asking for help. I do a lot of feedback, try not to make decisions on my own, you know, getting the right stakeholders in. My you know, personal education has been super helpful, but, you know, also connecting with other executives and doing additional learning outside of that so I can continue to be, you know, and grow in this role. So, yeah, hopefully that answers the question.
No, it's all growing pains, right? But those growing pains you learn, and that's where we're at right today. And so down the line, we'll be unstoppable.
And so. Oh, I love it. Okay. Two things. You are both incredibly quotable. I feel like you have both said some like mic drop moments over the last, like the quotes on this one are going to be like really fun post-production.
Yeah.
Quote bombs like everywhere. And I've got two, I think, powerful questions based on a couple things you said, Jessica. And first one, Lisi, is for you. You kind of talked about like the growth curve that you're in. I won't even say you're entering it. You are in the washing machine. I've worked for early stage startups and I've worked for Fortune 500s like Nike. So I've experienced both sides of technology. When you are growing quickly, it's very hard, but important to bring people along because you are throwing change at an organization and people like repeatability.
Yeah.
You have to be kind of on the end of the spectrum to like really lean into like the washing machine style of growth. So your title says a lot about what your work probably entails.
Yes.
And I'm curious how you're thinking about bringing the organization along as you embark on everything Jessica just told us. My mind exploded just now. But I'd love to hear from you. Like, how are you thinking about bringing the organization along?
I think it's one word that keeps popping up in my mind is communication, right? And it's streamlining that communication of what our organization is and what our core values and our initiatives and everything of what the vision. And then taking that and really structuring that out in processes and just being able to not only create platforms or that training for our on-site teams to be very efficient in their workplace, but also making sure that we are providing the tools and the resources for them. And I think with everything that we are pushing out, everything we're going through, it is a growing pain of that. It is that growth mindset of that, but it's also that learning process of that, right? And so for us as an organization, we all are having different components that we are, that is brought in together. And then it's my role to come in and take all those different components on the backside, create the vision of what we are, and then take that and then push it down to the sites and be able to just, you know, work with them in training wise. Yeah.
That helps. No, so one of the questions I have, and I don't know if there's like a great answer for this either, so it might be a bad question.
Okay.
But how are you creating feedback loops from the properties? Because you've talked a lot about the importance of your property team. It's blended into your commission model. How are you making sure that you hear that voice and like put it into the flywheel that is PMG?
It's our weekly meetings,
okay.
our regional weekly meetings. It's surveys that we push out. It's just having those one-on-one conversations. It's really sitting there letting them know that we're open, we're transparent to their feedback and their opinions, because we want them to have to build that trust with them to know that we are going to set the tone and be able to communicate what their needs are as well. Because again, it's the people.
Sure.
And they are our frontliners and they are the ones that are going to do things. And so for us as an executive leadership, we have to be able to be in that stronghold to create that vision to be able to push out.
Totally. Okay. Second question, Jessica, is for you. You said that you, quote, always be honest and give feedback as an executive team is one of the commitments you've made. And are there like business philosophies? Are there books? Are there anything you've like committed to? Or is this like a, I believe, and we're charging, we have open communication, we're living the values? Because I'm like a book guy. And I'm just curious if you've thought through, like, are there philosophies you're following? Or has this just been like a, after 20 years of the industry, I have perspective, I've experienced good and bad, and I'm doubling down on what good looks like? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, you know, I think in this type of role, and also multifamily, right? Like multifamily, we're so behind the times. And that's been one of the things that we really want to do is think about how an organization needs to be flexible. So, I mean, my education so far in organizational development psychology has been really important. But the thing is, you know, there's a lot of frameworks, there's a lot of theories, there's a lot of, There's a lot of tools out there, and I do, sometimes I'll take like little tools from here, little tools from there. Right now I'm reading the book called Traction. I know that's a pretty popular one, that's got some really easy to follow framework. But sometimes you just, especially in a leadership role, you don't necessarily, and I think this is one of the things that I have learned the biggest lessons in is it's not my job to have all of the answers, but to pull out the magic in others. So I do a lot of question asking. I ask a lot of questions. I don't want to be the final decision maker. I want to have open dialogue. And you being like a leadership chameleon, right? Like I know that my relationship and the things that Lisa and I talk about are going to be different than the things that I'm talking about or working with on another person. And one of the things that just makes me really fired up is bringing out and allowing people to be authentic. And I think it's something that I do really well naturally. And so learning how to bring out the authenticity, it's really an inside out approach to leadership. Like if I can help you believe in you, the rest is just logistics. And I think that's what, that's just how my brain works. I'm proudly and openly neurodivergent. So I have ADHD there's a lot of gifts. There's a lot of challenges, but I think I'm really good at seeing the big picture. And I just care so much more about how other people are feeling and how they're motivated and want to be there to enable them. Like my job as a president, my number one job is to take stuff off of my plate that doesn't matter so I can enable this executive team. Because roadblocks, when you need a decision maker, that's the worst, right? Like I didn't hire these experts so they can execute my personal agenda. I hired them so I could get out of their way.
I love that. You are amazing. So quotable, both of you. Yeah. I'm telling you, the energy here is palpable.
It's so funny that, you know, when you come to like where your gifts are, and especially within my role as VP of Learning and Marketing, is that ability to connect the departments and connect that vision down to our teams and to our people. And I would say of all the years and the things that I do love best about myself is the ability to connect and really relate. And I think in theory, that's something that builds that trust and that rapport that you ultimately want, that helps signify or exemplify what we're trying to do as a company in itself.
Oh, for sure. Well, before we wrap, I'm curious if you have any questions for me, and it's okay if you don't, but Jessica, questions for me at all?
So I know you talk to a lot of people.
I do.
And would love to know from your perspective, I know we're doing a lot of things differently, we're disrupting and innovating, but what do you think we have going on at PMG that is the most different or most impactful that is new? Like, what's the one thing that we need to keep doing from your perspective, opposed to maybe what else is out there?
I'm bad at answering questions because I'm going to give you two answers, not one. So is that okay?
Love it. Yes.
the first thing I think you should keep doubling down is on is social. Very, very few operators are visible, active, and telling stories online. They're not building in public. And that is a multifamilyism. Like every other industry, like the executives are telling their stories of what's working and what's not. And it is part of their flywheel. That makes you a destination environment. I mean, if I'm an operator that's looking for my next adventure, I'd want to work for you too. Right now, I'll tell you that.
Like, we're hiring.
Yeah.
As you're on this. We are hiring.
Well, and we'll end with a good question there too. But like, I would say like double down there, like keep telling the story, amplify the people, amplify the brand. I think that is something that in our industry, for some reason, there's this like tribal secrets thing that we just like keep back versus like sharing and being in public. And I think that's beautiful and it's different. I would double down there. And the second thing, I've learned a lot from the two of you over the last 25 minutes about, you know, you're thinking about it the right way, which is technology does not solve problems without organizational alignment. And our industry tends to think that if we buy this tech, all of a sudden we can centralize our leasing program.
Preach.
And as a purist, like I believe deeply in organizational alignment first, and then inserting technology to go fast. And you've both talked about going slow early so you can scale, right? And so I would double down there. There is secret sauce and organizational alignment and obsession and the values and all the things you've said. But those two things intertwined, like you're next level. You really are. That'd be my answer.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that. That was good to hear. We definitely have the social piece. Like Lisa is a very talented speaker. I do some speaking myself and we encourage that. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that's tough when you're listening to speakers, even listening to podcasts, is, you know, you hear about how perfect things are. Like I want to hear about the time that you almost quit because it was so hard. And how did you make it out of the trenches?
Yeah.
So we love that. So thank you.
Yeah. I mean, authenticity is important. People work for people, not brands. Ideally, it's both, but it's people first. It you know, I've seen very, very talented people quit because of a toxic boss. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the brand lost because the people weren't in line and ordered. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Recruiting. Let's end with what you're looking for. How can I help you? We've got a lot of people listen to the show, mostly in your chair. It's lots of marketing leaders, operation leaders in the space. As the recruiting flywheel takes off, what are some of the roles you're looking for?
Oh, we just want top talent. Yeah. We do in any shape or form. You know what? We've taken a really different approach to even our executive team members, like our VP of People Success, Stephanie Ayler, I stole her from Leonardo 24/7. Thank you.
Shout out.
She is our VP of what our version of an HR department is, because she's excellent at change management. She is excellent at the hype and she gets it. So we've got some technology influence with people who know how to do change management. They know implementation. Mm-hmm. And so we want top talent. We do have some roles in property operations. I mean, basically any property level role we have, looking for senior leaders in each one of our states, Arizona, Texas, and Nevada, and then looking for some a marketing specialist, kind of analyst type of thing.
Some passionate people, especially with the learning and marketing department. I want people who have that ability of passion to help and serve and be that support. And you know, if you're out there, I know I'm putting in
we want to hear from you.
That's great.
And also we are looking for portfolio analysts. So this is something new that we're doing. We want to take some of the administrative burden off of the regional managers and the community managers, and see if we can't test some, like a portfolio analyst, someone who is looking at the reports, compiling and aggregating the data. So that way we've got someone who's, you know, dedicated to a portfolio, but looking at the blind spots. So we're just kind of rethinking, but we do want to bring that role on in each one of our states too. So
people that are working on the business versus in the business is really important. And I think that's going to be a solve, I'd guess, in that portfolio role. Well, I'll tell you both as we close, I'm now a raving fan. So thank you for joining me. You are both incredible. I'm cheering for you, and I wish you guys nothing but wild success in 2023.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody. This is Mike. I just want to say thank you for listening to today's conversation. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would really appreciate either a review or a quick follow or subscribe, whether you listen on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else. And if you want to stay up to date on the latest content and industry news, head over to modernmultifamily.fm to sign up for my weekly newsletter. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.